Psalms 33 and 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now that word blessed, it means that they're happy, desirable conditions. That there is diffused across a land whose God is the Lord, happy, desirous conditions. And that this blessedness, the word blessed here, embraces all, everything that constitutes happiness. Does not mean that every citizen of that nation believes, but it does mean that in that nation there is a nation. Peter called the church a holy nation. And there is that people in that nation that are in contact with God. Now, the problem and conditions of a world do not affect the church, but the condition of the church affects that world. Out there in the street tonight is mirrored the condition of the church. I preached along this line a few years ago, and nobody wanted to believe me. But there's a lot of folks believe it tonight, that the condition of the church spiritually governs the condition of the world. Now, when the Bible says that when the righteous rule, things are fine, not talking about voting in a Christian president, but he's talking about a church that speaks for God, where the truth of God is ruled, where men hear what God has to say, and that the voice being spoken gives a clear sound. Now, the Bible said there are many voices. My God, I've lived to see that happen. The voices that are coming from the pulpit, there's strange things are being said in the hour in which we're living. Now, contrasting that, the nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. You cannot forget what you never knew. It's impossible for me to forget. And when the Bible talks about forgetting God, it's talking about a church and a people that knew God, walked in the light of God, but yet turned their back upon Him. John said that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And to turn from God is to turn from light. Turning to darkness, where in that darkness hell exists. This is the meaning. God is light. This is what is meant by the scripture, shall be turned into hell. Talking about the nature of things. Not a lake of fire, but the nature. When we turn from God, then the nature, every faculty of that nation is turned into hell. The Bible talks about in Matthew 8 and 12 of hell as being outer darkness. In the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, he says that word means utter darkness. Hell is a place where there isn't any light. Wherever God isn't is hell. You listening? Wherever God isn't is hell. We live in an almost totally demon-possessed society. We're moving toward a tribulation time when the last vestige of restraint will be moved from this society in which we live. It's not safe on the streets tonight, but it'll be like a Sunday school picnic once the church is gone. When a nation forgets God, her nature is changed from light to darkness. She's not walking in that light, but is turned backwards, away from what she knows. And then hell comes to take its place. Now, nature will not tolerate a vacuum. When God moves out, demons, whose nature is hell, move into the void and begin to operate in the midst of a society that once knew God. Now, this change of nature from light to darkness doesn't happen overnight. It's a process of things. It is something that takes place. First of all, the Bible-believing churches had to be infiltrated and mixed They could never, as long as the church stood, as the church, ladies and gentlemen, what's happened to our world never could have happened. There has never been a civilization fail until its church failed. And you'll never heal that nation until you heal its church. Until that church comes back to a pure spiritual entity built upon the Word of God, then everything is lost, ladies and gentlemen. This God wants to impress us before hell could ever take over in the manner that he has. Then he had to infiltrate that Bible-believing Pentecostal church and mix it with all kinds of flesh and error. And then the human conscience had to be seared. A people growing up under the influence of a gospel, though they never believed it, it had a restraining effect upon the community about us. There was not even a drunk allowed to walk on the streets of the little city that I grew up in. I can tell you, I grew up in a community of less than 500 people that had higher moral values than the average Pentecostal church in 1988. You know why? Because there was a Bible-believing church there. I never went to that church, but the influence of that church and the light of that church affected my life. Amen. But the human conscience had to be seared. Once the light was gone, then there began this process of hardening where we were not affected by the things about us. Now the process by which the devil leads a nation to utter darkness, that is to hell, is set forth in the first chapter of the book of Romans. There in 11 verses, the last 11 verses of the book of Romans, the most graphic language of the Bible, from a believer to a reprobate in 11 short verses. And God has set it forth vividly, the downward trend and destruction of the first civilization, the antediluvians. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. That is, the last civilization will end like the first one. We'll follow the same process into hell, into darkness, where the nature is changed long before we get into the fire of hell, the nature of the nation. You follow the footsteps of that first civilization, and it leads you to the last. Romans 1 gives us a step-by-step leading and walking to a totally demonized world, a world given up by God himself, a world where God wasn't. Now, the first step in a nation being turned into hell is verse 21 of the first chapter of the book of Romans. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. That simply means God wasn't there. That heart was dark because God and the influence of God was no longer a part of the life of that nation. Now the key as to how these antediluvians glorified him not as God is this phrase, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts were darkened. The word vain has to do entirely with that nature that Jesus said his father was the devil. It is that carnal nature that Jesus in no unmistaken word said, your father is the devil. And that word vain has to do with pride, wickedness, idolatry. The entire world of vanity has to do with the flesh. Now, vain in their imaginations simply means they were totally self-centered, lovers of themselves, have been given over by God to the indulgence of self without the restraint of the Holy Spirit. There is no bottom, mister, to the flesh without God. I can tell you that religious flesh sitting in a church on a Sunday is only an extension of the Sodomite community. It is absolutely no better. It is hated by God. And what we're dealing with, vain in their imagination, simply means they were totally self-centered. Their foolish heart was darkened. Now, you know in the Bible, talking about the heart, not talking about this muscle pumping blood, but he's talking about the nature and the spirit. That foolish heart, that spirit, that nature was darkened, turned into hell. Man became his own God. The Bible said he changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image of a man. There you have it. Humanism in the first civilization. That wasn't invented in 1900, mister. It was invented in the door of the Bible. They changed the image of God into the image of man. The Bible says that it is the purpose of God to conform us to the image of God. But man has reversed it. In the first civilization, it produced a living hell. I said it produced a living hell. Listen to this, verse 24. Because of this, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanliness. Because when they knew God, they never glorified him as God. They reduced him to the image of a man. And God gave that civilization up to an unclean spirit. That is a permissive, self-centered, self-indulgent spirit whose sensual, sexual, obnoxious desires ruled every waking moment. An unclean spirit. Now, the thought here is to hand over, to give up, to give up. It means God handed them over. That is, all restraints were removed so that that flesh was in control. It's straight down, mister. The Bible said it returns to the earth, and there's no bottom to that depravity. You listen, tonight we are witnessing a display of the flesh in religious circles, as much as it is sex plays a part of the high-powered religion of our day, as it does in the nightclubs of the city. We've moved into a sensual world governed by the desires of the human flesh, and there's no bottom to that world, mister. God, listen, these people had already willfully deserted God. He, in turn, left them to their own self-determination and self-destruction. God withdrew his restraint, and the carnal nature immediately moved front and center, taking absolute control. Now, the uncleanliness was a natural result of this, because that nature is unclean. There's no question that this nation has been given over to an unclean spirit. We have sired a generation who worship at the shrine of sex. My God, if it's in sports, it's sex. The whole nation is caught up in this unclean spirit tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, three times in Romans 1, Paul uses the verb paradokin, meaning given over. Wherefore God gave them up. The word sounds like clogs on a coffin lid as God turns man over to that unclean spirit that was birthed in hell. The results of God's give up, they dishonored God with their bodies. Through their own lust, they dishonored God. Now, in forgetting God, the ways of man replaced the ways of God. Isaiah said, God's ways are not our ways. And in the give up of God, and in the forgetting, turning our back upon God, the ways of man began to replace the ways of God, and into that vacuum was drawn demons. Into that darkness, they were drawn these demonic spirits. Now, since God's ways are not man's ways, everything becomes perverted. Everything is out of focus. When you move away from the will and the purpose of God, so that God's ways are replaced by man's ways in any society, then everything about that society becomes perverted. In that world of darkness or hell, where man's desire, center in himself, his only quest is pleasure, that which is beautiful and satisfying under God becomes ugly, brutal, and insatiable in the hands of a man. That which God intended to be beautiful between a man and his wife becomes ugly and brutal and downward to the terrible field. Hell is a world of unfulfilled desires. Solomon talked about this. He said, with all the rivers running to the ocean, it's never full. With all the seeing, the eyes are never full. With all the hearing. I remember we had Hansel Vivert here years ago. And he gave in this church to a packed out capacity the vision that God gave him of the hellbound train. And God led him through that train. And one of the things that he saw was his terrible, insatiable appetites. He said a man sitting in that train that he saw hellbound and his feeding, gorging. Said he just ate and ate, but there was no satisfaction. Never any satisfaction. What are you saying? I'm saying hell is a world of unfulfilled desires. We have a generation of people, no matter how big the house or the car, it's never big enough. No matter how many clothes we have, we never have enough. It's never a fulfilling of life, because without God, there can be no fulfillment. When God gives up or hands a man over to his own self-determination, then man hates everything that stands in his way for moral freedom. He hates everything that restrains him in the least in his quest for moral freedom. We have the demonstration of gay rights. I think the most ridiculous thing is when a nation ever considers such a situation. Gay rights, you know what that is? The right to promote homosexuality in your boys, in your schools. The right. That's a dead end street, mister. There's no reproduction of that except in the demon possession that's about us. And so we have, this quest of moral freedom. Do what I want. They call it sexual preference. I call it devil possession, mister, on a road down toward hell and darkness tonight. But man hates everything that stands in his way. And let me tell you, the worst enemy to that evil nature is the Word of God. The worst enemy, with his stern and uncompromising, thou shalt not, it tends to make the worst degenerate uncomfortable. They want to silence a voice, mister. I remember we ran a program nationally years ago. I called it A Strange Fascination, dealing with the fact that men are strangely, in this generation, fascinated with demons and the darkness. How we were running. A man called me from Maryland. We had lines here, 800 lines and 6 lines. I was having to be there, and one of the phones was ringing. I just picked it up. All of them were lit up. And the man on the other end said, "Who is this?" And he used a terrible word that's in here hollering in my living room. I said, "That's me, sir." He said, "You." And he began to tell me, "You've been walking on my brain. You have no right to say that in my living room." I said, "Cut it off then." But he was devil-possessed. And the word of the Lord coming into that home has brought a conviction to his heart. Let me tell you something, mister. They may not believe it, but if it's preached by the Holy Ghost and the real church stands up, there's an uncomfortableness about that thing. To overcome this roadblock, the word of God says in verse 25, they change the truth of God into a lie. They'll change its meaning. Listen. They'll change the meaning so that the object of the book is man and not God. All the emphasis. You ever hear so many courses that have to deal with man? I found an old song book once. Every song, not one name on a page of a song, every one of them had to do with the attributes of God. They sing about God. We sing about ourselves. Said they worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. And for this cause, listen, verse 25, that is changing God's truth, God gave them up to vile affections. That word means vile passions, passions of dishonor. Men with men, women with women. Oh, let me say to you, the degradation of sex is one of the results of the loss of God in the life of a nation. Once that darkness comes, it always, every civilization is in with a homosexual spirit. That spirit of perversion, that, ladies and gentlemen, isn't what God's going to judge. That's a judgment of God. Because we perverted this book, because a wrong sound came from the Bible, because the pulpit dare pervert the Word of God, change its truth to a lie, then that perversion showed up on the streets out there. It'll never disappear until the church once more stands up and preaches the gospel of Christ. From the unclean spirit to the spirit of perversion, the path is always downward, down. It's an insatiable thing. There's no satisfaction in that world, mister. That's the reason it finally winds up in the most degenerate, awful situation. My God, I read the book that a man wrote on the cover up of AIDS, and the first three chapters is a world I knew nothing about. But he dealt with homosexuality. My God, I never believed that human beings could reach the bottom that they reach with that, mister. It is a world without a bottom, but it's a product of men changing the truth of God into a lie. It come exactly from that. It began in the pulpit. Deluded men have prostituted the Word of God, changed it to fit their own convenience. They've made it fit what they want. These blind leaders of the blind have denied the blood, the virgin birth, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the second coming of Christ. And for this cause, God has given a generation over to a spirit of perversion. Now, when the spirit of perversion or homosexuality becomes rampant, as it is today, the only remedy is a Holy Ghost revival or God to destroy that civilization. I was listening to a great preacher talk. He said God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of AIDS. I don't know where he got the text, but I believed it. And he said the only thing to deal with it is fire. The Bible in 1 Peter says that there's going to be a fire that's going to devour the elements, ladies and gentlemen. I can tell you, God has a way of dealing with the AIDS and the demon possession out there. We may be closer, my God, than we ever dreamed to it tonight. Look at America. Her nature been turned into hell. Who can doubt it? Who would have believed our basic principles could have changed so drastically in so short a time? It began in the pulpit. The liberal mind changed the truth into lie. When this was accepted, it was only a matter of time. Without the absolutes of God to give direction and stability to the nation, she'd become frightened and unsure. We ran in Korea, we ran in Vietnam, we ran in Cuba, and we're about to run in Central America because we have nothing to ground us in, mister. We have nothing. There was a time when the nation was grounded in the truth of God. Her churches preached Christ as the only Savior. As a result, we had absolute truth as our center of gravity. The pulpit preached the truth. Every politician was looking over his shoulder to see what the preacher's saying. I didn't sow today, brother. They use them in political rallies now. They didn't come to us in political rallies. They wanted a sounding board of what the church said. We may not have been many in number, but the power that flowed from that church just kept a nation in line. We knew where we were going and were willing to pay the price to get there. All of that's changed. Nothing is black and white. Everything is a shade of gray. A twisted, perverted mind is loose in our society that coddles the criminal in the name of progress, thinking himself wise. He's become a fool. And today the courts more favor the criminal than it does the right people. As this darkness deepened, this perversion worked its way into every segment of this society until today. I'm not sure, but what we're as wicked as Sodom and Gomorrah. I believe that we may be on a plane with Sodom and Gomorrah. And the final step into total darkness, where the nature of a nation becomes hell, is for God to turn that nation over to a reprobate mind. That's the last step, mister. That's the last step on the ladder. When that reprobate mind becomes the mind of that society. Listen to it, verse 28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. The reading is, even as they rejected God in their knowledge, it wasn't that they tried to get God out of every human brain, but they wouldn't let him in the school, wouldn't let him in the university. They wouldn't allow him in the process making of the nation. It was a rejection of all restraints. Evolution is a lie. It can't stand scientific investigation. So they won't let the Word of God challenge it. I said they won't allow it to challenge. So the Bible is thrown out of the schools simply because of the lies that have been told. Amen. They rejected God, and God rejected them. Their mental attitude was gave over. They were cast away. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul talks about a man being cast away. And it's the same word that's used there. In that reprobate mind, cast away to his own doings, his own self-determination, where the road is always down. Now, reprobate mind is vividly described in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 29 to 32. Listen to it. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who know in the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it. That is a reprobate mind, and it rules this nation tonight. Whenever that mind rules, then the nature is hell. In this utter darkness of hell, demons possess men. Men become devil-possessed, and that reprobate mind says they're sick and you can't deal with them. It calls them child molesters, pedophiles. They're sick, they say. They're not sick. They're devil-possessed. But they fix it where you can't deal with them. In that demon-possessed, reprobate world, that demon-possessed is treated like the good folks. And you can't deal with them. When they call it sickness, the mind wants no restraint, this mind. So the system of justice becomes reformatory instead of punishment for crimes committed. And this is the first step of a nation losing out. When its justice systems becomes reformatory instead of retribution. We don't punish criminals. We're trying to reform them. I can tell you, hell isn't a reformatory, mister. But the first step down is when the laws of that land become reformatory. instead of penalty to justify this decadence, the demon possessed are called sick. Man killed 17 of his family in Arkansas a few weeks ago. Well, you know what he'll do? Wind up in a mental institution. And after a while, some witch doctor called a psychiatrist will let him loose on society again. And our streets become more filled with those that are full of hell. Godly men and nations under God know, number one, there is no government without law. Number two, law is a nullity without penalty. Number three, just as law is a necessity to government, penalty is a necessity to law. And upon the certainty with which the penalty of the violation of laws, it has no power unless it's so. Now, based upon what I've said, America's nature has been turned into hell. I said, been turned into hell. Out there in those streets, it's hell. You're not safe anywhere. Listen, mass murder is commonplace in our streets. Folks are not safe. They'll shoot you for 50 cents half cash. Man in New York backed up, bumped a man's fender, and the man got out and murdered him for bumping his fender. Don't tell me, mister, that we're not dealing with darkness that's never walked the streets of this nation before. We've reached the point. We have evicted God from our schools. We've turned our back on God. That's life. We've evicted Him from our schools. Our children are not allowed to pray. And demons have come to take His place. Yes, sir. We move God out of our schools. When the Supreme Court said this Bible had no place in that school curriculum, they said God has no place there. And when this Bible was evicted from a schoolroom, I can tell you devils walked into that void. The drug pusher, the homosexual, the murderer, the guns, the rape, all of it become a part of the scene when God was removed. Our cities and streets are hell. Can you say amen? Our cities and streets, mass murder is commonplace. Over 1,000 teen gangs roam the streets of Los Angeles. Fear stalks our streets. We've given civil rights to AIDS. We have children. This church just last week had chicken pox. They were quarantined, couldn't go to school. Yet AIDS, that if you get it, mister, you're dead. They've given civil rights to it. Because there's a minority out there that the politicians are afraid of his vote. My God, where have we got? I'll tell you, into utter darkness, that's where we are. The home is hell. I said, the home is hell. Divorce. How many? In the church, out of the church. They'll put a woman away or a husband away for the same reason. And then they let them keep right on a saying. Nobody feels bad about it. We reached a point, divorce has multiplied. Child abuse, sexually and physically, has become the most frightening thing of our time. My God, have you ever heard? Across this nation, women are in jail because they've hid their children from a husband that sexually abused them, and the courts locked them up. I said, locked them up. Can you imagine, mister, a man raping a 3-year-old daughter? Don't talk to me about a human. That's already beyond humanity. Don't talk about him being sick. He needs to be hung. I said, he needs to be hung. Oh, my God. The society must deal with it. The home is hell to the unborn. Dear God, throughout one's lifetime, the most dangerous place as living in America is the mother's womb. The chance for a premeditated fatal assault is never again as high as when that baby is in its mother's womb. The schools are hell. Have the problems of the 40 with spitball throwing, pulling a girl's hair, talking in class. I can tell you today, it's drugs. Children with needles in their veins, sniffing all kinds of cocaine and drugs. Not only that, children selling drugs right there in the schools. Teenagers and younger selling drugs. pregnancy, teen pregnancy. A million girls under 12 years old pregnant in this nation. Murder, homosexuality. That's the problems of the modern school, ladies and gentlemen. Our schools are hell, whether we want to believe it or not. And it's all because a reprobate mind moved God out of that school. The mindset of the nation is hell, and in no way is that hell demonstrated more than in the murder of the unborn. Every four pregnancies in this nation ends in an abortion. Some areas, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Seattle, and 14 others, the abortions number more than births. 20 million babies have been murdered since the Supreme Court ruling of 1973. That's more people murdered than every war that this nation's ever been in, including the Civil War. According, listen, when you read that, less than 3% are done because of rape, incest, or danger to the mother. 97% of abortions are motivated by economics, or the baby is perceived to be an inconvenience. If only abortions that took place was for rape or incest or danger to a mother's body or life, there'd be no pro-life movement in this nation, because there'd be so few abortions the public wouldn't know. Is this a gross violation of the Sixth Commandment? Thou shalt not kill. Is it? Listen. One's answer depends on how you view the fetus. Is the fetus a child, or is only a tissue, a part of a woman's body whose right to survival depends on whether or not the mother wants it? The Supreme Court gave their answer in 1973 by declaring the fetus was human but not a person. Human but not a person. According to the court, they said the fetus is only a potential life, therefore does not have legal right or protection. This understanding of the human fetus is rooted in the quality of life ethic. Let me read you something here. Based on this ethic, the quality of life ethic, this concept that human beings do not necessarily have intrinsic value or even equal value. Indeed, many homo sapiens should not be seen as persons at all. Simply put, personhood is based on achievement. Unless a human achieves and maintains a certain level of intellectual or physical performance, he or she is not a person nor does have life worth living, therefore is disposable if seen as a threat to a full person. Several developments in this nation indicate that this ethic is reaching beyond abortion. The medically induced good health for those deemed no longer fit to live have become more accepted, and has even been practiced many times by members of the medical profession, and there already have been several instances of infanticide. I have trouble with that word. Cases in which newborns with some type of genetic deficiency were placed in hospital nursing crib, marked "do not feed," and allowed to die of dehydration. A process that took 6 days in the case of Bloomington, Indiana's Baby Doe in April of 1982. Think about it. Now listen. Classifying humans as non-persons has always been the easy way out. It's easy to kill them when you come to a place that they're not persons. In the war, the Japanese weren't people. They were kooks. It's easy to pull a machine gun on a kook. It's hard to pull it on a human being. The questions just raised are not idle questions. The 1973 abortion decision was not the first time that based on economic considerations and the supposedly superior rights of others, the Supreme Court ruled a certain class of humans to be non-persons. In 1857, the Dred Scott case, the Supreme Court ruled that members of the black race were less than human and the property of their owners. As such, they had no rights that white men were bound to respect. Freeing slaves would violate the Fifth Amendment by causing wasn't an undue financial hardship on those who were truly human, that is, white slave owners. That's the court of this nation. In 1920, Felix Mayer published a small volume in Germany that paved the way for Germany's doctors to become the directors of Nazi killing programs. In this book, The Release of Destruction of Life Devoid of Value, the author declared the Hippocratic Oath obsolete, denied that there's an absolute right to life, and decried the wasted manpower, patient, and capital investment needed to keep life more not worth living alive. They forcibly argued that the terminally ill, the unproductive, the feeble mind, and all useless eaters have the right to the complete relief of an unbearable life and should be given a death with dignity. Killing the useless for financial reason became morally acceptable. Before the first Jew entered the gas chamber of the charitable transport company for the sick, carried 250,000 German citizens deemed unfit to live to places where they were given good deaths. Ladies and gentlemen, we move toward that tonight. The practice of this kind of thing is becoming commonplace in the society in which we live. Hitler declared that Jews were non-persons. He declared the Jews were non-person and proceeded to kill 60 million of them. Amen. God is against murder. That's the reason the Bible is outlawed in a society that the term without natural affection fits into. The Bible is thrown out when we reach a place that we do not have natural affection. The unborn is a human being with potential. Not a potential life. What is torn apart by a suction curette 10 to 13 weeks into pregnancy is not a blob, not an unwanted tissue, but a child with perfectly formed arms, hands, feet, fingernails, toenails, eyes, faith, and a brain that's been emitting strong brain waves for over a month. Hitler's rule of violence in the eyes of God may have been compassionate when compared with this nation of ours. And it's murder of the unborn. And it's murder. Finally, the greatest sin to emerge out of a nation's forgetting God is a desire to be God. The greatest sin. The first lie of the Bible is Satan's assertion to Eve, you can be like God. Genesis 3 and 5. Satan's one overpowering determination was in Isaiah 14:14, I'll make myself like the Most High. In the quality of life literature, two themes reflect the human desire to be God. The first defends the absolute right of men and women to total sexual freedom and of each woman to do what she wants to with her own body. That has to deal with the unborn. The second suggests that those born with physical, mental, or emotional handicaps, or even poverty, would be better off dead. That's the thought that's being projected in this quality of life effort. Do we have absolute rights to our bodies? The Bible said, know you not that your body is a temple of God, that He bought you with a price. Man doesn't have a right over that body. It belongs to God. But making the will of God synonymous with being true to oneself, as in Eastern mysticism, is simply the idolatry the Bible warns against, disguised in psychological terminology. As to the second theme, it is on the basis that some would be better off dead that physicians play God. They act as if they were omniscient, speaking with certainty about the misery unwanted children with both cause and experience. Who gave these physicians their crystal balls? How can we know whether this new child's life will be a continual burden or a joyful praise to God? The greatest gospel singer of this age, Miss Ethel Waters, was born of a pregnancy of a 16-year-old mother that was raped a 16-year-old poor black girl, raped. And out of that rape came one of the greatest gospel singers that the world has ever known. Beethoven's background included a deranged father, a syphilitic mother, a mentally retarded older brother, and a sibling born blind. Planned Parenthood would have told Ludwig's mother, protect your freedom, terminate the poor thing. Their God is human speculation. It's impotent. It's not big enough for this age in which we live. It's a God of darkness. When the high court decreed that there was no place for the Bible in our schools, in effect, they said there's no place for God. No place for God. The day the Bible left the school, the drug pusher moved in. Free course, no restraint. He become a part. The report on obscenity reported, the panel reporting back to Mr. Nixon, they said we find no correlation between pornography and violent sexual crimes in this nation. But at the same time, they were reporting the marquees of the National Library across the nation were saying, you are what you read. At the exact same time, amen, what's going on? How insane can we get? In one breath, we tell our children, watching and reading filth will not harm them. And the next breath, we tell them they're what they read. The truth is, whatever a nation feeds upon will shape the nature of that nation. Amen. Its personalities. We've sired a generation of rapists and murderers by feeding a continual diet of filth and violence. And who can dispute the fact that a reprobate mind has not planned this, ladies and gentlemen? Make no mistake, there's a reprobate mind loose in the affairs of state. We are in the last give up of God. When the antediluvian world was turned over to a reprobate mind, it was only a matter of days until the lightning and the thunder of the flood began. My God, tribulations around the corner. A world totally possessed of the devil is just around the corner. The day of the beast is upon us. And if you're not a part of the raptured church, you're going to find yourself in the middle of a world possessed by darkness totally. The future is being mirrored every day on the television screens of America. With the church gone, all restraint will be lifted. Devils will walk our streets full grown. A world without God is in the making. God pity the man, the woman tonight that's not ready to meet Christ. For if we can already see what fools cannot see, how near must that rapture be tonight? How close must that rapture be in this hour? America, you've turned your back on God, and demons have come to walk your streets. A darkness covers this land, and the gross darkness to people. And there's only one way out. That's Christ. By turning from the darkness to light. And the only way that happens is the individual. The individual. Here, there, and across this land turns to Christ.